So yes. So I met these two, and I'm going to try to pronounce your name. Let's see if we can I could spell it and I could type it out and I could put it on Facebook. So here I go. And of course I don't have my glasses with me, but Octavio?
Yes, sir.
Is that good? And then a Y sound? Why would? Oh, is it?
It might be better for them to tell me.
Yeah, probably so.
They're not doing very well.
No. Yeah, I'm not doing well, especially Bing's. I don't have my glasses, but Fantia? Fantia? No. Oh my gosh. Fanita?
Fanita.
Oh, well, that's easy. Why didn't you tell me? Fanita and Octavio. So there you go. As I butcher even the English language, it doesn't matter which language it is. I butcher it. So we met them. I met them at a salmon meeting. You all familiar with salmon, right? Sacramento Area Missions Network. So you thought it was the fish, a fish meeting? Okay, no, that's what Christians go by that back in the day. So we met there and got to know them, and I said what perfect speakers they would be for our month of missions, which happens to be this month. That's how God connects everybody. And I love what their mission is, and I'm going to say this in the podcast. By God's grace, we will seek connections through which we can create a synergy by partnering with other organizations.
Remedy.
To advance the Great Commission in California, the whole U.S. of A., and not to stop there, worldwide, by partnering. So they've already partnered, I think, with at least one or two churches, right? And they're living here with their daughter, who's about ready to have a baby, right, very soon. And I asked them after the first minute I got to know them if they would partner with GAP and go up and teach into the juvenile hall up in Woodland in Yolo County, and where ICE is holding the immigration police are holding some youth from different parts of Central and South America, holding them up there. And they speak Spanish. I don't. But they do, and the kids up there do. So we'll see if that goes. I think it will. So we're partnering. So I'll let them tell their story. Why they're here in the U.S., because they only got here, what, 3 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
So here they, and it's in Elk Grove, right? You're staying with your daughter in Elk Grove? See, what a small world. God's world is very small. And don't let me forget, by the way, because I do tend to forget things at this point, is that if anybody's interested in helping the people in the Texas, and especially the Houston area, there's a way to do that. And we'll have, I didn't tell Michael this, but if he could show Samaritan's Purse website and have that ready to go up. Franklin Graham, I heard him announce that they are sending these tractor trailer loads of goods down there. Samaritan Purse is like a Red Cross, a Christian Red Cross, even though you would think, yeah, anyway. And they've asked for, they're going to stay down there as long as it takes, but these people are going to be displaced in their homes. So they're asking for 1,000 people per day, I think. Maybe it's per week, to come down there and volunteer. And just keep doing that throughout the year. That's a lot of people. So I'm suggesting that you drop out of school, you quit your jobs, you leave your families, and go. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. But it's just something to think about. We'll talk about at the end here. But let's go ahead and have these two from all the way from Colombia, South America, or one, come up. Whoever wants to come up, you can come up and begin speaking so I can get off of here. All right. You both like to? That's good. That's good. That's good. We can put this up here. We can bring the chair up here. We do have another chair. Here we go. There's a chair right here.
I'm going to talk a little bit.
You are going to talk a little bit? Okay. All right. I'm going to give you this.
Well, we are happy to be here to meet all of you. I'm Fanita, and he's Octavio. We are from Colombia, South America. We have two girls. Jessica is our oldest one. She's married. She lives in Canada, and it's Greg, her husband, and Carl Dean, his little boy. And she's a teacher with kids who has special needs. And this is Vanessa. We are living with her, her husband Nathan, and Daniel. And she's expecting a baby, Eva Sofia, which is coming soon, maybe two more weeks. And she's a family and couple therapist. And she lives like 5 minutes from here. So, yeah, we are in a small world. And he's Octavio. He's going to share our stories.
Thank you. Jessica is having, both of them are having a tough time because in Canada, they are blessed with their health program. For instance, Vanessa, Jessica, she got a leave of absence 1 year. 1 year at home, and she gets paid. So the bad side of that is that after a year, now you have to leave the baby to go to work. She will be starting work tomorrow. So both of them are having a tough time leaving Carl at home. And this kid, he knows who his mama is. And they just came back from Colombia. And every picture they took from him, he was crying because he was in somebody else's arms. So the only time he was kind of not crying at least was the day before they left Colombia. So he kind of giving, this is my present for you. I'm not crying, but I'm leaving Colombia tomorrow. And Vanessa, she's scheduled to have a surgery on September 13. If Eva Sofia doesn't come earlier, okay. For us, it is just a joy to be here tonight because of the things that we have heard, not just tonight but before through Randall telling us that you're just a young generation, thirst for the Lord, and eager to know and to do, eager to go, so talented. So I said, oh man, this is the army that we need. So it is, and of course, it's a different sight. When you go to a church, you see a lot of gray hair. Maybe we'll be talking a little bit about that. But here you just see mine. You know, not much hair, but there is some. But anyway, so we'll try to combine two things here. One is our life and ministry pilgrimage, as well the urgency to get engaged in the mission field. missions of faces. What word or phrase has changed your life for good? And how did it change it? What word or phrase? Have you had that experience that even today, even as of today, you are operating your life because this phrase, because this word, because something impacted your life so much that it was a turning point in your life? Have you had your experience? Okay, can you share it? Amen. That's a beautiful word. Thank you. Your name is?
Adam.
Adam, yeah. I have met Adam, Danielle, and Jacob, Emily, Michael, yes, Nicholas, Grant, yeah, okay. I will keep working on the names. Okay. Thank you. The thing is, mine is not that complex and that not holy. Mine is very simple. Yes. There's a word that changed my life. One night, my brother came from school and said, "Octavio, can you say see in English?" I said, "No, I can't." And he said, "Yes." And for whatever reason, the word just got into my mind, got into my heart. Next day, I woke up earlier than before, and I went to my friend's home. "Hey, can you say see in English?" "No, I can't." Yes. And I became a yes person. I was so eager to learn your language that I would open randomly the dictionary, and I would learn 10 new words every day. 10 new words, and I will write it down to at least, if I couldn't spell it out, at least I will be able to spell it, you know, or sound it out, I will be able to spell it. So I was just so eager to learn the language that I was working and asking, how can I say this, how can I say that? Let's go. And then I kept growing up. I went to the seminary. I was 21 when I married this beautiful lady, clueless about life, clueless about love, clueless about what it really meant to be a husband, a godly husband. And I have been loving her since she was 13, because we were neighbors. We grew up almost in the same home. Not the same home, but we were different home, but we were very close, because my father bought the wall from her home, from their home, so he would save and build three walls. So, but it was good. It came. There was a plus with a wall, because there was a hole, and through the hole I could talk to her. So, it was just meant, you know. But then God started talking to me about the center, because when I became 17, 18, in those ages, you know, and you think that the world is in your hands. You are so much power, and you got your coolness, you know, and stuff. And then alcohol and gambling became an issue in my life. And then we went back to Medellin, which is Fanita's hometown, and God started talking to me about the seminary. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will." And then I finished my seminary studies, and then came the day when they were going to appoint me as the local pastor. And it was such a profound thought in my heart. I'm going to be the spiritual leader of a community. No. And I got so sick. I got so sick to my stomach. I was throwing up. I was so sick just thinking about being the spiritual leader of a community. And then I found strength from this verse. It was a long time ago. It became so popular, this verse. Yeah. Everything. Yes, yes. But it was very, very beautiful to me, because even in this verse, the last part says, and God granted his request. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. We have not been free from pain, but what we have seen in our life is that he has enhanced our territory. We got married, and after 6 years, we got Jessica, and then we got Vanessa, and now we have sons-in-law, and now we have grandchildren. It's an amazing experience. We had a very, very humble building as a church. It was very humble, so humble that even we had the Sunday school class for children was next to a pig pen. You know, and the kids would come to us complaining, "Oh, no, it smells too bad." So one day I decided to, with the grown-ups, say, "Hey, we will switch places with the kids. We will bring them, we'll leave them at the sanctuary, and we will go and take, we use their Sunday school class." And after that, they decided to do something about it. They built a little room closer to the sanctuary to us. And so it was, sometimes we have to taste feel how it likes to be in the feet or seat of the other person, and it will help you to change perspective. So, and then faces of missions. That's I don't know if you are able to pick up who is me there in that photo. You know, of course, the better looking. I was this age when I started doing missions. Of course, I didn't know that it was called missions. I didn't know that I was doing missions. But a missionary just took me, this man here, he's now retired. He lives in Kyler, Pennsylvania. He took me under his wings, and he took me everywhere. He was in charge of church planting and evangelism in Colombia through One Mission Society, this organization that we are representing here in the area. And through that experience, I learned that God was shaping my life in some way, and also saving me from trying to go in the wrong direction. Because it's so easy. I don't know. I know you guys. You don't know what temptation is. You know. It just us there in another part of the world that we have to deal with so many things. But being involved and engaged in ministry at that early age really helped me. But at the same time, helped me to see that it was so tough to be a pastor. That it was so hard for a pastor to be able to supply for the needs of the families. When their children grew up, they said, "No, Daddy, thank you very much. Christianity is not for me. Church is not for me. Look at you. You are just dying there." So when I finished high school, I was offered the opportunity to go to the seminary. The background is the seminary, the OMS seminary in Colombia. And I told them, "Thank you very much. I don't want to be part of the statistics. I have another idea." And I went to work for the bank. You know, ideas, money. But of course, in a bank, you see so much money going through your hands throughout the day, but you go home and nothing in your pocket. But at least it's a good work, very clean and stuff. But God had other plans. God had other plans, and as I told you, he really pushed things for me and helped me to be part of the seminary students, and then I did my graduation, and here, doing ministry. It's not Jordan River, but very close. Yeah, yes, it is. And also, remember that we told you about a very humble building? God allowed us to build a 5-story building. It was just an amazing work. We had in our savings, in our church account, $150. And we ended up investing like $70,000 in the building. You know, God is good, God is faithful, and he told us yes. He said yes. Here's my Medellin, yes. Here is my wife. We were part of another program later on. After we finished there in Colombia, we came to the States for 5 years. We spent 2 years in Indiana working on English as well, trying to raise some support, and then went to Kentucky and finished my master's in counseling. And then we went back to Medellin, and we started serving in a sports ministry. Using, you know, sports, mainly soccer. We had like 1,300 kids involved in the program on a weekly basis. We would do devotion time with them and have a tournament for them. And here's my wife teaching some craft in Guatemala. We went there for 2 weeks serving the Mayan community. It's just an amazing time. But at the same time, it was sad to see how the enemy of our souls wants and loves and takes delight in ruining people's life. People there love, especially the guys, they love to drink so much. You know, they love drinking, and the ladies, they work so hard. And guys just drink, and they just, you can see them just on the sidewalk and in the street, just so drunk. There in a town called Quibdó, it's part of the poorest country or state in our Colombia. It's called Chocó, C-H-O-C-O, Chocó. As you can see, most of the community there are 95 African descended. Here, as part of the work ministry, we were also, our city held a large international sports tournament. All the sports through South America. So here's my wife. We were sharing with the Colombian team. There in a school, high school in Alabama, sharing with the kids, sharing with them about Jesus. Here is it is not a circus. It's a tent. You can see the homes in the background. We were part of some mission trips just to very vulnerable towns in Colombia. We would take medical doctors, nurses, beauticians, counselors, psychologists. And since we were in the sports field, so we were the ones just taking the entertainment and recreation for the kids. There, you were talking about Franklin Graham and Samaritan Purse. You have been maybe part of this program. So we did this for 3 years. We would go to towns and share about the shoeboxes. It is just an amazing experience to see the faces of those kids opening their boxes and sharing with one another, what you got, and when they got candies, gums, everything, they were just so thrilled. And ton of boxes, some people put even $1. So when they found a dollar, woo, they were so happy. Baptizing a kid in a former church, we were pastors there for 8-9 years, and the pastor invited me to be part of a baptismal service. Here is the last family picture that we took. The day before, Jessica with a red sweatshirt was going to get married. So I asked them, please, let's have our last family picture. I still cherish that picture. Hey, guys, if you are not married yet, please, keep in mind in your relationship the Father's heart. because we as guys, we can care less about the guy. We just care. We just care about our lady. But when you become fathers and you become the father of a lady, then you will recall my words. Please keep in your minds the heart of the father. There was a Canadian pastor who said that while he was at the altar waiting for his daughter, as she was approaching, walking through the aisle, the picture that came to his mind was, this is the most expensive, most beautiful violin, and I'm giving it to a monkey. You know? Because we, as fathers, we see these baby girls growing, and we do whatever it takes to keep them happy. Daddy, daddy, I love you. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to marry you. Yes, baby, you will marry me. And then somebody else come along and take them and say, okay, so it was just a free tip, okay? And after the sports program or ministry, we went to Bogota. Bogota, and OMS has a high school in Bogota. And we were the chaplains for the community. Every Sunday, every Monday morning, we have a devotion time for the high schoolers, and then on Tuesdays for the elementary kids, and Fridays for the kindergarten kids. It was just an amazing... Private school. It was just an amazing 3 years ministry. Amazing, amazing. An endless opportunity to share the gospel with the children, especially with young people, young minds. Ah, it's so beautiful. And after that, we were accepted as missionaries with OMS. It's part of our program. There was a program called Spiritual Emphasis. So different activities in those days with them. Lots of fun. You can go, Michael. Here, so after we finished in Bogota and we were accepted as missionaries with OMS, we went back to Medellin. While OMS deal with our papers to come, or documents to come to the States. So you can see this picture here, and you can see this beautiful young girl here. Just keep her face. Now you can see her here. What's different with her? What? She's not smiling. Okay, because she's there. Her legs are missing. Yeah, of course you couldn't see in the, you couldn't see that in the other photo. When she was 9, she went to a store looking for her dad, and while she was there, somebody threw a bomb inside the business, and because of that, her legs were taken away. She spent like 3 months in the hospital. She was told that she would never have a baby or bear a baby, and now she has 4. And here is one of the largest prisons in Colombia, Bellavista. So that's why my brother, when you told me about going to here, I said, hey, that's no problem for us. We will go there, and we will be willing. And also we served, while we were in Kentucky, we served for 3 years as the religious services volunteer for the Hispanic community in a federal medical center there in Lexington. So at this point, we came back to Medellin, and we were leading a program called the Sycamore Tree Project, which is a reconciliation project. We were going through the community, and we would talk to people who have been victim of any crime, and we would ask them if they were willing to go to the prison and share their stories with guys, perpetrators, who were not the direct perpetrators, but in their heart, they could represent for them those kind of agents of evil against them. So, please, not yet. Yeah, thank you, Michael. So, you can see that guy in green. He was a paramilitary leader. And he became just a crazy person. And he had to take a kind of psychiatric medicine because at night he couldn't sleep, just listening or hearing the weeping and the crying of the people, the voices, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And because of that, he couldn't sleep. He was just losing his mind. So different stories there. The guy in blue also, he was accused of being part of a massacre. So different stories there. But not everybody was willing to go to the prison and share their stories. You will find people that are not ready to see to sit down and tell their stories. Because they think that somebody who's in prison won't ever change. Somebody told me, Pastor Octavio, you're just wasting your time. You're wasting. They are bad. Their hearts are bad. They won't change. Of course, if we believe that, then we could fall into the same category. We are as sinners as they are. We just choose to sin differently. We lie. Of course, not you guys. It's other people from another city. We have bad thoughts, but not you guys, you know. And you girls, you never, you know. So we just choose to sin differently. But and before God, it's the same thing. So they're just beautiful, beautiful stories. A very moving situations. We brought people, for instance, a pastor that he served in our church after we left, and he was shot, and he was left quadriplegic. And I would take him to this meeting, this kind of setting. It was just so powerful. And also because the victim tells the story, but also the perpetrators tell their stories. Because their lives are not in a void. For instance, there was a guy who was raised in a house that used to sell drugs. What he became later? A drug dealer. And also in the house, they used to bring other young people and even kids for sex. What he became? A sex trafficker. So not to excuse their sin, but at least that to give room. Like there was a guy who, when he was 13, 14, he saw when his grandmother was killed with machete. And he said, I will grow up and I will kill as many guerrilla members as I can. And he became a killer machine. And the paramilitary group learned about it. They were feeding his hate. And of course, so it's not to excuse his evilness, but to give him some room. Okay, go. So, phases of missions. So God called us, and this call has a new set of opportunities and challenges. And we need all the support as possible so we can incarnate what coming together means. Prayer support, advocates, financial partners. Prayer support. We began a prayer group after hearing after hearing the big difference between how much time pastors from the Western world spend in prayer as opposed to how much time pastor from the Eastern world, from China and all those places. Or Orient or Easter? How do you say?
Both.
Okay. So how much? It was a big difference. I told my wife, baby, that's a shame. We need to change this. So we changed our life, and we were more intentional in praying and praying. So we started a group with maybe four or five people. Now we have close to 50 that we get together virtually to pray. But I discovered this. The more you put yourself in prayer, the deeper sensitivity develops in you about the pain that people go through and their relationships and their daily situations. Because God gives you kind of a new understanding of compassion, solidarity, when people come to you with their issues. We have so many stories. Like, there was a girl, beautiful girl. She's 2 years old, Lauren Sophia. The couple learned that she developed leukemia. So the father seemingly thought, oh, I didn't sign for this. So he left the house. Left the girl and left the mom alone, you know? That's why when you, as guys, you know, and we are giving our daughter to these guys and we are hoping that they are the best partner in life. But this guy, he just quit and left them alone. Praise the Lord, Laura Sofia is back home. Now, she has a monthly checkup, but it is so praying is something that we have seen that really works and change our worlds. So advocates, what does it mean, advocate? Is to have people who will speak up on our behalf. There are so many people that we are not familiar with, but maybe now you are taking this. Hey, do you know what? We met this couple there here in California. I don't know if you have a spare $1 million there that we can share. But anyway, just we need people talking to us or introducing us to other ministries, because that's what we are about. We have been visiting universities, and we need to have to connect to seminaries, universities, church denominations. So if you are aware of that, please. And financial partners. Trying to raise support to be in Colombia was easy. $1 is almost 3,000 pesos. But coming to the States and coming to California, it doesn't work the same. So, and as a missionary, we need to raise our own support. And at this point, we are now 55% in our support. And as long as we don't raise our full support, we won't have a salary. We have just a help. And now we are living with our daughter. We are using Daniel's living room, which is his play area, which is the floor. That's where we are sleeping for the last 2 weeks. And we are looking forward for more days to sleep on the floor. And it is fun. It is okay. That's no problem at all. But, of course, in the future, we hope that we will have a place, that we have a bed, because, you know, you don't understand this, but, you know, the older you get, the harder it gets to get out from the floor. From the bed, you just put your feet on the floor and you are almost there. But from the floor, did you? Okay. So let's not talk about the floor more. So we are in California trying to develop more faces, trying to create more faces. Now we have your faces, but of course we want to see other faces, not just of those who are already seeking the Lord, but those who are suffering. As my wife told you, she's a family and couple therapist, Vanessa. And she tells, Daddy, I don't know, I don't understand how people can endure so much pain in their relationships. So I don't know about your life, we don't know about your homes, but we want to see new faces. who are part of God's kingdom. And we are here in California, and our goal is to visit every organization in all California, but of course, for the time being, we are here in Central Valley, and we are trying to grow from there and see how many more phases we can add in God's economy. And we see ourselves as a bridge. The story behind this bridge is so neat. Bank of America was the one that funded this project. And we see ourselves as a bridge between organizations between organizations and those who are not yet Christians, those who need to hear the good news. So we see ourselves as a bridge. Let's go. Okay, this is it. Okay. So when I said, okay, we're trying to put two things together here, our life story and the urgency. Let's say, Nicholas, you had from now on, you have just 100 hugs to give. Okay, just 100. And let's say, Derek, you were given the opportunity to have just 150 kisses to give for the rest of your life. And let's say your name is?
Angela,
Eric, Derek. And so Derek with the kisses, Nicholas with the hugs, and let's say smiles. That you were given 200 smiles to give away. And for the rest of your life, how do you think we will be able to experience that? Hugging, kissing, smiling.
I make kids smile by making boxes of the OCD box of operational boxes, so that, and the photo there.
Uh huh.
I in California, in my church, in the Great Church, remember go to. I build those boxes. I build them.
Oh man, that's great.
So kids can have them in our countries. They can't afford them.
That's great, of course. Through that, you can bring a lot of smiles.
That's what I do every December.
Okay, that's great. So, how do you think you will experience just having 150 kisses to give away? Who will be the one who will be getting those kisses from you? Good. 150. Okay. What about you?
I don't know. I think they'd be going like pretty fast.
So are you hugging? Okay. So it is good. It is good that we choose a hugger to put you in this situation. If you had just 100 hugs to give away, who will be the recipients of your hugging?
Probably my family, my grandma.
Thank you. Angela.
She wouldn't do very well.
No. Now you are left with maybe 150.
I think it's 125
now. Yeah. So.
I know that smiling never stops. That's what
I mean. Okay, will you please help me reading these verses? Job 14:5 and Psalms 90:10 and Psalms 139:16. Job 14:5, Psalms 90:10 and 139:16.
Job.
Yeah. You got Job?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got John 14:5.
Okay. You can read it too. Psalms 90. Okay. Nicholas and 139. Jacob. Yeah. Okay. So can we start with you?
Sure. John 14:5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know how." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?"
Okay. That thing. I'm sorry. You. That's okay. Let's go with Derek.
Job.
Yeah.
14:5. You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer.
Okay. Thank you.
Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Muy bien. And Psalm 90:10. Okay. There is a sense of urgency in ministry and serving. And do you know what? We don't live our life with this sense of urgency. Maybe I can ask my wife, "Baby, when was the last time I hugged you and kissed you in a very loving way?" You know, you don't have to say, "Baby." It have been. Maybe you don't recall this. But you said, Nicholas, if I may use your example, grandma and family, when was the last time that you did it? That when we are really doing it, because we don't live with a sense of urgency to love, to embrace those around us. I remember one day, it was 6 p.m. Friday, leaving the office. There were two kids coming on our way. They were walking. And we were sitting down in the car talking to other people, and all of a sudden, I see this gun in my face. I said, leave the keys there. Give me your car. And I say, "Cool, man. No problem. Just you can take it." So they took our truck. And after that day, I told my wife, "Baby, we better, every time we are saying bye to each other, we better do it in a good, fully way. At least if I am gone in the afternoon, at least you were kissed and encouraged." it was the memory that I'm living with you. Because we don't think that it could be our last kiss, our last hug, our last kiss, our last smile. We don't think about it. So, ministry, missions. How much time do we have to do missions? There is a new video, a movie. I don't recall the title of this movie, but it goes like this. It's a girl who dies in a car accident, and she every night dreams the same dream, and she's trying to do it better every dream. Then she says this: some people have 3,000 tomorrows. Some people have 1,000 tomorrows. Some people have 10 tomorrows. Therefore, whatever I do today matters. Whatever I do today matters. You are mission-minded young people. Maybe you want to go, you want to do something. We have this opportunity today in Houston. Maybe we have another opportunity next door. But what really counts is today. Tomorrow, Randall can get a phone call. "Randall, this is Juanita. Octavia's gone." Not because I left her, because my father took me to heaven. Because life is like that. Life is like that. This is reality. So our beautiful, amazing, capable, intelligent, talented young people, today is the day to get ourselves engaged in missions. Not after I finish college. Not after I get a good work, a good job. Not after I set up my own business. Not after I have my first child. Not after I see my son going to college. It's today. Today. There are little things that could do. He just told us a story. Just making boxes. That's what it took. So I don't know anything about you guys. So we don't know when and where you can make a difference in missions, but it have to be today. Come on. It has to be today. Tomorrow could be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. It is not something, oh, what about if I die today or tonight? No, it's not the point. The point is that your level of energy is just today. Once upon a time, I also had 20 years. Long hair. This muscle here was up here. But it just one day you wake up, you have no hair. No energy. So please, if God is prompting your heart to do something for his kingdom, and as jokingly Rundle said, leave your school, no. In your school, your teachers or your professors, your classmates, even the person who served at the cafeteria, maybe he, she needs a smile. Maybe he, she needs a hug. A church, what can we do at church? What can we do at Remedy? What can we do places where we don't have to leave home? But it has to be today. Has to be today. Our days are numbered. Our months are numbered. And what Derek read, no more. No more. This is the time. And when that time is over, as mine is, it's over. The game is over. So, please, may God use your minds, your hands, your energy, your joy, your passion to bring his glory to the next door, to the step of somebody else's door, a family. There are so many people suffering because of illnesses in their homes. And it has to be so devastating when somebody goes to the doctor and they tell him, her, Max, for a month. You don't go celebrating, hey, just for a month and I will start paying bills. No, it hurts. It hurts. So let us pray. Lord, what a wonderful place to be at. Surrounded by beautiful young people. People whose hearts are yours. People whose minds are yours. People whose dreams are yours. May you, Lord, use them in mighty, mighty ways. Bring to their life whatever it is necessary tonight for them, Lord, to be the person, the man and the woman that you meant to, for them to be. Lord, I don't know what kind of limitations, I don't know what kind of fears, I don't know what kind of situations they are dealing with. But in your grace, and recalling what our John man said about the Bible verse, he who started the good job, the good work, will bring it to a full completion. So please, Lord, thank you for Randall. Thank you for his wife. Thank you for the leaders of this program. Thank you for every single person here. But Lord, please put in us that sense of urgency, that sense of urgency to love and serve in your name, to open our minds, open our arms, to love somebody, to let somebody know that he, she is important because of you and for you. Lord, may you bring joys and everything that they are praying for as a token of your grace and also as a way to say, you are important to me and I want to equip you, I want to empower you so we can continue serving others. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the ways you have used us. Thank you for the ways that you have chosen to let us know how special we are to you. Watch over us. Protect our dreams. Guard our minds. Guard and protect our decisions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.